What a beautiful way to express the posture, the personality, the emotion, the action of worship. And so, young people, we thank you very, very much. And though I am very old, I know what a selfie stick is. Just for the record, I know what a I've never used one, but I know what one is. An article written by Chuck Lawless was forwarded to me last week by one of our elders. I'm sure his intentions were nothing but noble and helpful and good. But the article was written as a guide for pastors who are preparing services and sermons for Mother's Day. He suggests that Mother's Day services present a number of very dangerous tripwires for pastors to avoid. In other words, this guide was written to cause a pastor a week of sleepless nights as he prepares his message. Here are several precautions and guidelines Lawless recommends. I've modified them a little. Number one, be careful about identifying mothers by having them stand or raise their hand. Today, a growing number of women are carrying concealed weapons they're trained and unafraid to use. Okay, I embellished that a little bit. Secondly, be careful about recognizing special mothers like the youngest and the oldest. You could find yourself in violation of HIPAA law and could be slapped with a lawsuit for age discrimination. Besides that, experience has taught me there are several ways the oldest and youngest thing can go bad. Well, after listing five or six other precautions, Lawless writes this: recognize mothers, but honor all the ladies in the church. That's a good one. That's one I can work with. So, endeavoring to observe these precautions and stay within the recommended guidelines, I will attempt to speak almost fearlessly. But in all seriousness, this morning I want to do what Lawless suggests in that last point: recognize mothers, but honor all the ladies in the church. And let's do that not because it is the safer route, but because it's biblical. It's biblical. And I hope you realize something. In contrast with other world religions and cultures, wherever the Bible is believed and wherever the Bible is obeyed, women are honored as equals with men and their status is greatly elevated. Now, I wish I could say Christians and the church have always gotten this right, but the fact is we haven't. And so this morning, let's ask God to help us get this right in his obedience to his word, as we seek to honor the ladies in our midst. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to come together and to be taught from your word. And Father, we know your word is true and right, and we know the world would be a much better place if we all obeyed the principles it reveals to us. Lord, we thank you for the ladies in our midst. We thank you for the mothers in our midst. We thank you for all they have done for us, all they mean to us. And today, we ask that you would help us to honor them. Now, we realize this morning, Father, that some are hurting because it is Mother's Day and their mother is no longer with them. And we pray that you would encourage those in that category. And there may be some who wish they were mothers, but you have not blessed them that way. We pray that you would just remind them of how precious they are in your sight. Remind them of the high status, the high regard that they have to you and should have to every one of us. And there are others that are hurting in different ways, and we pray that you would encourage them and help them as we see how valuable we are, all of us, to you. You made us, You went to great lengths to redeem us when we were lost and separate from you. And you have a plan for our lives that is better than anything we could ever imagine for ourselves. Help us, Father, to worship you for that kind of love. We give you praise and honor and glory, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, even though Mother's Day has been hijacked by Hallmark and special offers from Sherry's Berries and FTD Florists, the idea of honoring mothers is rooted in the commands of God. You know this. Exodus 20 and verse 12, the Lord instructed his people this way: honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You know, the New Testament repeats this command, listen, seven times. Only seven times. I think it's important. The template God has in mind for Mother's Day celebration may well be Proverbs 31, 28, and 31. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. If you have a mother, as all of us did at one time, I hope that describes the plans that you have for her today. That's our desire and our goal, and that is to honor the ladies in our midst and to learn how to do this more consistently and more substantially. If we listen to God and if we take his instructions seriously, if we treat the ladies in our lives with greater respect, I'm thinking, this is a gift they might appreciate more than anything else we might give them. Flowers are wonderful, but they don't last very long. A box of Godiva chocolate is even better than flowers, in my opinion, but that doesn't last as long as the flowers. It's very fattening. But loving respect, that is a gift that keeps on giving. Ladies, give us a loud amen if you think I'm on to something. Amen. Men, do you hear that? Our text this morning is 1 Peter 3:7, where the Holy Spirit says this: husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, open your Bible to 1 Peter and let's just see this verse in the context of this letter. A major theme in 1 Peter is holy living. We see that in chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. You know what holy means? You know what holiness is? It's out of the ordinary living. Holy living isn't weird, poker-faced piety. It isn't a person who is so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. Holy living isn't disconnecting oneself from real life. It isn't having tastes that are a century behind the times. A holy life is different. That's what holy means. Distinct, separate, a cut above the lives of those who are without God and without the guidance of his word and the enablement of his spirit. Holiness rejects the status quo. Holiness lifts the quality of human relationships to a higher plane. And you know, from cover to cover, the Bible declares how much God values and how much he is concerned about our relationships. Now, in chapter 2, Peter applies holy living to our influence on those who are without Christ, verse 11 and 12. He then applies holy living to our relation to those who are over us in positions of authority, verse 13 to 17, and then in relation to our employers, 18 to 25. The third chapter opens with instructions for the married. And here the Holy Spirit reveals the attitudes and the behaviors that should characterize the relationship between a Christian man and his wife. Now, the first six verses contain instructions for women or for wives, and verse 7 contains instructions for men or husbands. We're going to concentrate on that part of it, verse 7. Let me read it again. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, in the words, in the same way, Peter is showing the connection and the similarities between a husband's attitudes and behavior with that which is appropriate to every relationship. In the same way. Now, as we consider this verse that is addressed to husbands, I have an underlining premise, and it goes like this. The primary and most basic way we learn to respect and honor women is by observing the way our father treats our mother. There you go. The primary, most basic way we learn to respect and honor women is by observing the way our father treats our mother. In other words, our homes are the primary school for learning that every person in our lives is owed respect because each person is made in God's image and likeness. The woman you're married to is God's daughter first. First. This principle is introduced in 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, which says, show proper respect to everyone. And yet often, with wide eyes and dismay, children see their parents treating each other poorly. You know, if dad complains about the food his wife prepares, his children will learn to do the same. And if dad does his own thing, regardless of how mom feels about it, his children will learn to follow his example. If parents argue and pick at each other, our children will think that arguing is the normal way to communicate. But when a man treats his wife with consideration and respect as God commands him to, his children will learn to honor the women in their lives even as he does. And when he speaks highly of her, they will learn to do the same. When he makes a big deal out of her birthday, their anniversary, and special occasions like Mother's Day, he makes his love and his respect for her visible. And you know, this thing called respect for others is contagious. It's a behavior that's taught by example. So the man who honors his wife creates a ripple effect that touches every level of society. And so verse 7 contains, I believe, six principles for the relationship between a Christian husband and his wife. This is the way of holiness. I mean, it's out of the ordinary behavior that is only possible through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me repeat the premise. The primary and most basic way we learn to respect and honor women is by observing the way our father treats our mother. Number one, a Christian man will be considerate of his wife's needs. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate, is what the verse says. Now, consideration is a quality of attitude, of behavior that gives careful thought to those around us. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. A considerate person will show awareness and regard for the feelings, the needs, the opinions, the interests, and the circumstances of those who are around him. I mean, can you just imagine how different the world would be if everyone practiced consideration? Imagine how different driving would be. Well, here Peter tells us that a Christian man will be thoughtful toward his wife. Instead of being absorbed with himself and his things, God commands a husband to think about his wife, to think about her. He must give thoughtful consideration to things that matter to her. And this is a godly characteristic because it is true of God in his relationship to us. How do I know that? Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Do you know God is thinking about you? And that God has pleasant thoughts when he thinks about you? A wife should be confident that her husband is thinking about her. Ideally, she should know her husband is thinking about her all the time. But more than just thinking about his wife, a godly man will think good thoughts about his wife. And in this, he also emulates the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, a thought life is something we are commanded to control. It's something we can control. Critical thoughts, fault-finding attitudes can and must be put aside. In their place, a considerate man will focus on his wife's best qualities. And he will train himself to ask, what will please her? You know, what does she need? How can I encourage her? How can I support her? What help would she most appreciate? What special thing can I do to affirm my love for her? And since these thoughts don't occur automatically for any of us, God commands husbands to be considerate. You know, it would be so nice if good thoughts just popped into our heads on a regular basis, but they don't. And so, in obedience to God's word and by the enablement of his Spirit, a Christian man will train himself to be thoughtful, to be considerate. Well, secondly, a Christian man will share his life with his wife. Look at what it says, as you live with your wives. As you live with your wives. Someone has said the loneliest people in the world are often married. Many hardworking husbands are missing out on the one item that is most essential to a happy wife. Providing income is not the same as sharing a life. It's not the same as doing life together. In the beginning, God created marriage to meet the human need for companionship and intimacy. But in too many marriages, all a couple really shares is the same address, maybe the same checking account, and a couple of kids. Now, the Greek term translated live with means to be at home with. It's a comfortable word. It implies being settled down. It implies permanence. And the same word is used of God who dwells in light. It's the same word that's used of the indwelling Spirit of God in the believer who never leaves. You know, in each case, to live with or to dwell together suggests a state of inseparable closeness and oneness. A woman can be lonely for her husband's companionship. He may bring home a nice paycheck and do the yard work, but what she craves most is his attention and his affection. You know, she wants to be noticed. She wants to be appreciated. She wants to be given the gift of his time. Focus. And often this vital aspect of our marriages starts to slip in the middle years when, you know, the financial needs are the greatest and the children are occupying so much of her time. And so here we're reminded of the need to practice sharing life with our mate. Nice things can never replace that basic need for companionship. I remember the story of a pastor who thought he would really make a hit with the congregation. It was the first of the year, and he said, "My goal this year is to visit every member in our congregation." He said, "Now I'd like to know which of you would like a visit." And no hands went up, except for his wife. She said, "I'd like a visit." Well, a Christian man will live with his wife in a manner that shows her respect. See the phrase? And treat them with respect. Now, that Greek word translated respect means to recognize value and worth. To show respect is to esteem. It's to acknowledge a sense of excellence in a person. Webster defines honor as high regard or great respect given, especially glory, fame, and distinction. And once again, every person is owed respect because every person was made by God in his likeness. Now, there's a number of practical ways a man can show respect to a woman. A man and his children honor their mother when they put her on a pedestal and make her feel that she's special. Now, this command is echoed in other scriptures. Philippians 2:3, Paul wrote, "In humility, consider others better than yourselves." And no relationship is a more appropriate proving ground for practicing godly humility than marriage. One way to honor a woman is to notice and appreciate all that she does. You know, some of the finest corporate managers will never be written about in Forbes magazine. Their office is in homes like ours. They plan, organize, delegate, dispatch, and make on-the-spot decisions as part of their daily routine. But when was the last time we noticed, and when was the last time she heard words of appreciation for all that she does? I can tell you that permanently etched in my memory is a time when I became Mr. Mom for a couple of weeks. You know, I managed to make breakfast, to get the kids off to school, to generally keep things picked up, but that was all Mr. Mom had time for. The second law of thermodynamics was again proven as things around the house began to move from order to chaos. We ate fast food almost every night. The dust accumulated, the laundry piled up, and those many things that Peggy does routinely went undone. Men, don't wait for her to be absent before you notice and appreciate all she does. Pay attention. Let her know how much she's needed. Can you remember a time when you were ignored? Can you remember a time when you were rudely spoken to? How did that make you feel? Rotten. Didn't make you feel big, it made you feel small. And another way for a man to honor a woman is to speak to her with respect. Her words are powerful, powerful. They minister help or they inflict harm. They either build up or they tear down. And just like the rest of us, wives and mothers need to hear words of praise. William James wrote, "The deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated." And along with the affirmation that comes through kind words, a woman needs to be heard. And she knows that we've listened to her when we correct those little things we do that bug the bejeebers out of her. You know? Toilet seat. It shows that we're sensitive and concerned about her. It helps her feel that her opinion and thoughts have value and worth. And the man who focuses on honoring his wife and caring for her needs and nurturing her as the most valuable asset is obedient to God, and he will greatly affect how she feels about herself. And then fourthly, a Christian man will recognize his wife's weaknesses and will seek to protect and support her. Listen to this phrase, as the weaker partner, as the weaker partner. Now, along with her many strengths, and in some ways she is much stronger than we are. I mean, I think my wife is intellectually stronger than I am. Although, I'm sorry that's on tape. But a Christian man will realize his wife has certain weaknesses. She needs her husband's protection and support. Her needs provide him, by the way, with a golden opportunity to come to her rescue. And let's face it, men, deep inside, every one of us wants to be a hero. And secretly, we wish we could wear Superman pajamas. Me guess. I remember one from a hospital call, and I was stopped at the red light at Linden and Pearson. And looking across the intersection, I saw my wife come around the corner on Linden from the other direction, heading west on Pearson, and just as she turned the corner, she blew a tire. Boom! I saw it. Blah, 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 blah. So she pulled into where Cottage Inn Pizza was, that little, and ProClean or something was. She pulled into that parking lot. Well, just as soon as she got in there, my light turned green. I pulled in behind her with my cape. Do you have a problem, dear? The timing couldn't have been more amazing. And so we traded cars, and I took the one with the bad tire, and she says, "You are my hero." I was 10 feet tall that day. Yeah. We wanna be that. We wanna do that. Okay, where was I? From hero to zero, right? Yeah. Every woman has a basic need to be protected physically. And that's why so many carry mace and concealed weapons these days. She needs to be protected from dangers that exist in late night shopping trips and poorly lighted parking lots. She needs that gentle reminder to use her seatbelt and to lock the car and to lock the house doors when she leaves or when she's inside. When the phone rings and nobody else is home, she needs to be reminded how she should answer callers so as to not give the impression that she's home alone. And though these reminders may insult her intelligence just a little bit, the trade-off is a big message, the message that says you care about her. And along with obvious physical dangers, she needs to be protected from overscheduling and from allowing herself to be manipulated by other people, even friends. In some ways, her physical and emotional makeup is delicate and more fragile than most of us who are husbands. And so she may neglect herself while caring for a member of her family or a parent. And a loving husband will see that his wife gets the rest, the exercise, the medical attention she needs. And don't forget the cosmetology. I'm not saying your wife really needs a trip to the beauty parlor. I didn't say that. I'm saying it's probably something she values and something she would really enjoy. Mothers with young children have special needs all their own. They may need to be protected from cabin fever. You know, it's so prevalent during our long Michigan winters. A young wife may need to be rescued for an evening, or better yet, a weekend. A weekend without the children. Ladies, can you imagine that? Though you love them dearly, should be nice to have a little space, right? When the only conversation a young mother has had for a whole month has been conversation with a couple of toddlers, she may desperately need some inner intellectual protection and relief. Poor Mrs. Reed. She lived across the street from us when I was a kid. I used to mow the Reed's lawn. I think I did it for 5 or 6 years. Unfortunately, her husband did not protect her intellectually. And being cooped up for long periods with two small children caused her to become, let me say, affected by their reading books. The poor lady's intellectual elevator got stuck at Dick and Jane's floor, if you know what I mean. And she would say to me, "Look, Dean, look at the grass. The grass is tall, Dean. See the lawnmower, Dean? See the red gas can, Dean? Will you mow the lawn for us, Dean? You think I'm kidding? I'm telling you the truth." A woman sometimes needs protection from herself. You know, with so much emphasis on appearance and performance, I'm waiting for a magazine that's dedicated to ugly people. You know, there's no such thing. But with so much emphasis on these outward things, she may be discouraged by unrealistic ambitions and expectations. And you know what can result? Depression can be the result if she falls into the trap of comparing herself with others. And to counteract these pitfalls, she needs regular doses of approval and tender affirmation. She needs to know how good she looks and how much she means to her husband. And it's something I've often said in wedding ceremonies, the best way a man can compliment his wife is frequently. Frequently. And what about her children? You know, they're adorable, but I've got news for you. They are selfish, fallen sinners. They are, every one of them. And at times, they will exploit her weaknesses, especially when dad's out of range. And just like a union, you know, siblings will often organize their resistance and gang up on her. And as they get older, they can say thoughtless things that hurt and crush her spirit. When this happens, her husband must come to the rescue. This is not a time to side with the kids. With firmness, they need to know this is not acceptable behavior and that this will not be tolerated. The rule in the home must be made clear. In our home, we show respect to this lady who is God's daughter, my wife, and your mother. She brought you into the world, she can take you out. And I might give her the nod. Finally, a woman needs spiritual protection. And the Bible stresses the fact that Adam's sin was open-eyed and deliberate, but Eve was deceived. She was tricked. And the vulnerability to spiritual error is stronger for women than it is for men. We see that throughout the Bible. And for this reason, husbands are to be the spiritual leaders who make it their business to protect their wife and their family by sound teaching, by godly example. And when a man seeks to protect and support his wife, he affirms her value and her worth while protecting his greatest asset. Fifth, a Christian man will treat his wife as a fully participating partner. See what it says? As heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. And notice that phrase, heirs with you. And the phrase suggests partnership. You know, the business world has all sorts of partnerships. Silent partners, financial partners, equal partners, controlling partners, minority partners. And even though a woman's roles differ from that of a man, God's word insists that she has an equal inheritance as a child of God. In fact, in Christ, gender distinctions disappear entirely. Galatians 3, 26 and 29, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And because of her equal status in the sight of God, a husband is to treat his wife graciously and as a full and equal partner. But you know, often this isn't the case. Sometimes in marriage, the wife is a minority partner. You know, in marriage counseling years ago, I actually met a husband who had purchased several cars and a house without his wife's knowledge or approval. That would not work in my marriage. He made the purchases, told his wife about it after the fact. For sure, I would live in that house I purchased all by myself. But in fairness to men, I also counseled a couple where the wife was taking night classes without her husband knowing it. And as you might expect, he demanded to know what else she was doing that he didn't know about. That's not the way marriage is supposed to work. Marriage is supposed to be a partnership, where we share everything together. No secrets. No hidden agendas. According to God's word, marriage is an equal partnership. And what signals are given by a husband who makes decisions independently and unilaterally? You know what it tells his mate? Tells his mate, your opinion, your tastes don't count. What I think, what I decide is all that matters. You know, it says you are a silent partner in this marriage. Your input is not relevant, valued, or welcome. You know, normally conflicts don't arise over big items like houses and automobiles. You know, most men I know don't have a death wish, and they don't want to sleep in the garage. But typically, the dispute is over vacation plans, or golf clubs, or fishing gear, or whose family, whose home the family is going to for Christmas. You know, King Solomon said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The little foxes. And so treating your wife as an equal partner is another way to honor her and demonstrate her worth. It's making decisions together as a partner. And then finally, the Christian man understands that his relationship with his wife will affect his relationship, his fellowship with the Lord, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You know, the Spirit of God wants us to know there's nothing optional about these instructions. These are serious. These are important. It is God's will for a man to treat his wife with respect and honor. It's the way of holiness. In his life, she is to be second only to the Lord. And to fail in this responsibility will negatively affect his relationship with the Lord, and it will shut down the Lord's ability and willingness to answer his prayers. Now, even though not everybody realizes this, Jesus did an incredible thing for women, and by extension, for all humanity. His standards oppose male dominance. His standards oppose the abusive treatment of women that is prevalent in so many pagan cultures. His teaching lifts women to a high level, higher than ever existed before. Jesus repeated God's command that says, "Children, honor your father and mother." His word teaches a wife to respect her husband and a husband to love and respect his wife. And yet these commands and this path of holiness can only be walked by those who have received salvation, forgiveness, and a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," that is, if you're saved and you belong to the family of God and God's Holy Spirit lives in you, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. This is what each one of us need. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. We need someone with power to change us on the inside. Someone who can be the common denominator that brings a man and his wife together. And who qualifies better to do that than the Creator who made us in the first place? So I ask you, have you trusted Jesus? Have you invited him to forgive you and to come into your life and to make it new? On this day set aside to acknowledge the mothers who gave us life, let's ask the Lord to help us honor her and treat her with greater respect. And men, God has entrusted to us the responsibility of setting the example of what it means to show proper respect to everyone. Let's bow our heads and our hearts together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we again thank you for the truthfulness of your word, and we confess what a different world it would be if we all respected your word and put your word into practice in our lives. Thank you for being the perfect example. We think of Jesus, who was a friend of tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. He showed respect for everyone and did not show undue respect to anyone. He was no respecter of persons in the sense that he showed no partiality, no favoritism, but he loved everyone equally. And he looked at every person with optimism and with hope and with love. And so he looks at us today. And Father, if there's one here today who has not received God's gift of salvation, we pray that it would be crystal clear that the way to do that is to invite Jesus to forgive them and save them and give them a new heart. And we're thankful that you're willing, that you're eager to do this. And so, friend, if that's you, simply pray, "Lord Jesus, I need a Savior. I am selfish. I have sinned against you. I have not lived a holy life. but I want to be different. And I believe that you're the one who can change me from the inside out. So I'm asking you to become my Savior just now. Say if you prayed that, I want you to tell somebody about it afterwards. Tell someone, I trusted Jesus today. Now for all of us, Father, we pray that you would encourage us in this matter of respecting women, of respecting the ladies in our lives, whether they be our wives or our mothers or co-workers or neighbors. Help us, Father, to show them the respect they're worthy of. And we give you all the praise and the honor, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.